I am so glad to be here today. And I'm glad you're here. I needed this song service and this praise service today. The Apostle Paul said in the Corinthian letter that Greg has read to us that we as children of God have been espoused to one husband. We've been engaged. And they said, the apostle said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear for you that you should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ. Literally, it reads this way. I'm afraid you're going to be corrupted from a single-mindedness that is in Christ. And then the psalmist tells us that there is a name that shall endure forever. And of course, that name is the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christianity is just that. A believing that Christ is all. Christianity is made up of having a single-mindedness toward Christ. This morning, I have no other God before me but Jesus. I worship no denomination. I have no ordinances nor rituals. It's Christ and Christ alone for me. When God would show the wonder of his grace, he tells Hosea in the book of Hosea to marry Gomer, who was the whore. And you remember the story that she cheated on Hosea. I think many who claim the name of Christ are cheating on Christ. Gomer did not have a single-mindedness toward Hosea. She had other lovers. The Bible is a single-minded book. Its purpose is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And pure Christianity is a single-mindedness toward Jesus Christ. Anything short of a single-mindedness is whorish. It's unfaithfulness. It's adulterous. It's a guise of religion. The Apostle Paul put it very simply. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Or maybe another way. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Note this, and note it well, that in heaven there is only one name that is mentioned, and it's not yours. There's only one name that really matters. It's the name that shall endure forever. It's his name that shall be continued as long as the sun and men shall be blessed in him. And men of all nations shall be blessed, the Bible says. Men of every kindred and tongue and nation. Then let all that is within me bless his holy name. The revelation, the last book of the Bible, is the future unveiling. Many people go to the book of Revelation to try to solve all prophecies and mysteries. The book of the Revelation, it concerns itself ultimately and primarily with the future unveiling and glory of Jesus Christ. Get used to it. For when we've been there 10,000 years, we have no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. The songwriter wrote, my gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, the honors of thy name. Again, the songwriter said, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Again, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Again, the songwriter said, his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. His name shall endure forever. Webster's dictionary says that name is a word constituting the distinctive designation of some person or thing. Name is the embodiment of a reputation, spiritual nature, or essence. And so it is with the name which is above every name and before which every knee shall bow. A name uttered more, written more, sung more than any in all the world. There are over 220 names in Scripture given to the hymn of the text, whose name shall endure forever, and for whom we are to have a single-mindedness toward Him. If you get nothing else out of this message, I hope you leave here. That pastor just preached a single-minded message. As we view His names, you will see in Him, in His names, His glorious character, His glorious person, His offices and qualities. Through His name, we are helped to know Him more intimately. His every name is vital, powerful, revealing, and all important. There is one name which will last when all others shall have died out. And that name is connected with blessing. He came into the world on purpose to bless sinners. To bless sinners, He parted with everything. The Bible says, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. He was incarnate blessing. He is the ever-blessed and ever-blessing One. Our text, Psalms 72, makes mention of a glorious hymn, and it is through this hymn that all blessings come. He is the storehouse of all conceivable good, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Christ is the true medicine to restore my soul. Christ is the meat and drink to refresh me. Christ is the fountain of life from which I drank to quench my thirst. Christ is the light in my darkness. Christ is the joy in my sadness. Christ is the advocate against my accuser. Christ is the wisdom against my folly. Christ is the righteousness against my sins. Christ is the mercy seat against the judgment seat. Christ is the throne of grace against my condemnation. Christ is my peace and rest against an evil conscience. Christ is my victory against all my enemies. Christ is my propitiation against all my trespasses. Christ is my strength against all my weaknesses. Christ is the way against my wandering. Christ is the power in the midst of my infirmities. Christ is my everlasting high priest to intercede for me. No man is ever blessed until he comes to be connected with this glorious hymn. But in this hymn, I am blessed. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. Oh, I'm a blessed man. I am always satisfied with him. I am triumphant in him. I am rejoicing in him. In him I'm blessed. In him is life. In him we abide. In him we have confidence. In him we're blessed. In Him we're helped. In Him our hearts rejoice. In Him we trust. In Him is our portion and hope. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we're made the righteousness of God. In Him all fullness of God dwells. In Him we are rooted and built up. In Him we are complete. In Him we have a standing that can never be disputed. In Him we have a justification that can never be reversed. In Him we have an inheritance that we can never be alienated. In Him we have a wealth that can never be depleted. In Him we have a resource that can never be diminished. In Him we have a bank that can never be closed. In Him we have a peace that can never be destroyed. In Him we have a joy that can never be surpassed. In Him we have a grace that can never be arrested. We have a strength in Him that can never be weakened. In Him we have an intercessor who can never be disqualified. In Him we have a victor who can never be vanquished. In Him we have a resurrection that can never be prevented. In Him we have a destiny that can never be changed. In Him we have a hope that can never be disappointed. Are you getting my point? In Him we have a glory. In Him we have a glory that can never be dimmed. In Him we have a relationship that can never be revoked. In Him we have a righteousness that can never be tarnished. In Him we have an acceptance that can never be questioned. In Him we have a title that can never be clouded. In Him we have a position that can never be invalidated. In Him we have a life that can never be forfeited. Anybody else in this place blessed like me? I'm just getting started. We can say the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Our mouths are filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Some in here have been telling people that I believe God to be a blesser of only a few. That is not true. This hymn is the blesser of multitudes, of innumerable myriads of men that He purchased on the cross. There'll be more in heaven than in hell, because God never loses in His Son, Jesus Christ. Men shall be blessed in Him. I think this perhaps indicates length of time. Men have been blessed in Him for centuries, for dispensations. Men and women have been blessed in Him. The Bible says He shall cause men to be willing in the day of His power. Oh, how much, how deeply, how long, and in how many ways we have been blessed in Him. Blessed to the highest degree. Christ has removed the curse. No curse abides, only blessings abide. Hallelujah. He lifted from the elect world the weight of the eternal curse. He bare away my sin into the wilderness. Praise God for this hymn, this Jesus, this Christ of God. I wrote all this down because I knew I'd chase rabbits if I didn't, so just stay with me. Men shall be blessed in Him. Don't ever think that the success of this hymn depends on you. Don't think it's your power to prevent Him from accomplishing His mighty purposes of love toward you. Don't think that even by refusing His invitation, you will thwart Him and defeat the purpose of God. No, no. The King's wedding feast shall be furnished with guests. He shall cause men to be willing in the day of His power, turning them from darkness to light and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. Let it be established in each of us this morning that we are a people who are single-minded. Now, not so quickly, let us note that the worthy name of Jesus Christ shall endure forever. Just mark that down. He has an eternal name. His name is imperishable. His name shall be perpetuated to everlasting. His name shall be chanted by the church while the eons of time pile themselves one on top of another. Would you like to practice? Let's say 10 times, Jesus Christ. Here we go. Jesus Christ, 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 Jesus Christ. I love that chant. I hope you're not so sophisticated you didn't chant with us. Because when you get to heaven, you're going to do that chant. His name has endured the attack of heathenism with the classic Greeks and the power of Emperor Rome. Bibles have been burned by the thousands. Men have been burned at the stake. Modernists have called him a bastard. The liberals have attempted to discredit his name. His own disciples often lived as if his name were but a passing fancy, but his name shall endure forever. His name will not fade. His name will not fail. His name will not flee. I tell you, as long as on this earth there is a sinner who has been reclaimed by omnipotent grace, his name shall endure. As long as there breathes a chief of sinners who has washed himself in the fountain filled with blood, open for sin and uncleanliness, as long as there exists a Christian who has put his faith in him and found him in him his delight, his refuge, his stay, his shield, his song, and his joy, there will be no fear that his name will be cleansed from this earth. As long as there is a sinner who has tasted that he is gracious, has manifestations of his love, sights of his face, whispers of his mercy, assurances of his affection, promises of his grace, hopes of his blessings, we will not cease to honor his name. Why should the sinner refuse to sing his praise? The stones would sing, the hills would be an orchestra, the mountains would skip like rams, and the little hills like lambs. And should these be silent, the sun would begin the worthy chant of his name. Am I not right about that? The moon would play her silver harp, and the night wind sweetly sing his name. The stars would dance to his praise. The great ocean tides would crash against the shores, shouting, "Thou art the glorious Christ. Great is thy majesty and infinite thy power." How shall his name be forgotten? It is painted on the skies. It is written on the floods. The winds whisper it. The tempests howl it. The seas chant it. The stars shine it. The beasts low it. The thunders proclaim it. The earth shouts it. And the heaven echoes it. His name shall endure forever. Because he's the author. He's the author of an immortal book. This is an immortal book. His word shall endure forever. And he is in this book from cover to cover. You are not a great theologian or a theologian until you have come to see the Bible, a hymn book spelled H-I-M, him. This Bible declares him, the hymn of prophecy, the hymn of history, the hymn of experience, and the hymn of coming glory. The Old Testament cries, "Behold, he comes." The four Gospels cry, "Behold, he dies." The book of Acts follows with, "Behold, he lives." The epistles join the chorus with, "Behold, he saves." The Revelation completes this chorus with, "Behold, he reigns." That's it. That's what it is all about. He comes, he dies, he lives, he saves, and he reigns. Every part of this immortal book is meant to teach us who he is. He is everywhere to be found in the promises, in the predictions, in the types and emblems of this immortal book. In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he's our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of broken walls of our lives. In Esther, he's our Mordecai. In Job, he's our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he's the Lord, our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. He was Solomon's altogether lovely one. He was Isaiah's child king, son of a virgin, with shoulders strong enough to bear the government. He was Jeremiah's branch of righteousness. He was Ezekiel's plant of renown, the true shepherd. He was Daniel's stone cut without hands. He's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. He was to Joel the hope of the people, to Obadiah the deliverance upon Mount Zion, to Micah the turning again to God. He was the one Nahum saw upon the mountains publishing peace. He was the anointed of whom Habakkuk sang as going forth for salvation. He is the true Zerubbabel of Haggai's world, whose hands laid the foundation of the church, and his hands shall also finish it. He himself being the dawn of the day when holiness shall be upon the bells of the horses, as Zechariah foretold. He is the son of righteousness of Malachi's dream. In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the Holy Spirit working among men. In Romans, he's the justifier. In 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he's the sanctifier. In Galatians, he's the redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the Christ of unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he's the God who supplieth all our needs. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he's our soon coming king. In 1st and 2nd Timothy, he's the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's the faithful pastor. In Philemon, he's the friend of the oppressed. In Hebrews, he is the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he is the Lord who raises the sick. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he's the chief shepherd who soon shall appear. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he is love. In Jude, he's the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. In Revelation, he's our King of kings and Lord of lords. Single-mindedness. That's what I'm talking about. Single-mindedness. He's the living head of an undying family. His family find in his death their significance, in his life their example, in his cross their redemption, and in his resurrection their hope. In this large family, there are many of differing occupations. To an artist, he's the altogether lovely. To an architect, he's the chief cornerstone. To an astronomer, he's the son of righteousness. To a baker, he's the living bread. To a banker, he's the hidden treasure. To a biologist, he is the life. To a carpenter, he's the sure foundation. To a doctor, he's the great physician. To an educator, he's the great teacher. To a farmer, he's the sower and Lord of the harvest. To a florist, he's the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He is the rock of ages to a genealogist. To a jeweler, he's the pearl of great price. To a philosopher, he's the wisdom of God. To a Christian, he's the Son. He is the living God, Savior, and Lord. He is our kindest friend. He is our unworried benefactor. He is our patient teacher. His wisdom is our guide, his power our defense, his sympathy our consolation, his approval our reward, his salvation our highest hope. He is the sun who enlightens us. He is the physician who heals us. He is the wall of fire that defends us. He is the friend who comforts us. He's the pearl who enriches us. He's the ark who supports us. He's the rock who sustains us. He is the true deliverer. He is prophet, priest, and king. He is the white and ruddy one. He is the lion and the lamb. He's the servant and the Lord. He's the true scapegoat, the true brazen serpent. He's my mercy seat. He is my joy and my comfort. His blood is my pardon. His righteousness, my justification. His strength is my strength. His promises my cheer. His grace keeps me. His power presents me faultless. His bond is love, and his burden is light. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives me. When I'm weak, he's strong. When I'm lost, he's my way. When I'm afraid, he's my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I'm persecuted, he shields me. When I face loss, he provides for me. When I face death, He carries me home. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and His mind is on me. He is everything for every elect, everywhere, every time, and in every way. Wait a minute, I'm not through. You bunch of radical, single-minded people. All right, let's try it again. Since he's the way, there is no other way. Since he's the truth, everything else is a lie. Since he is the life, everything apart from him is death. He is architect of the universe and manager of all times. He is unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was a servant and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. The world can't understand him, yet no one can ignore him. The armies can't defeat him. Herod couldn't kill him. Nero couldn't crush him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. Hitler couldn't silence him. The New Age can't replace him. And the salvation by works people can't control him. He's keeper of the creation and the creator of all he keeps. Okay. But I'm not through yet. His name is Jehovah, God, the Son of God. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, Bright and Morning Star. He's the bread of heaven, water of life. He's the door, the truth, the way, the life. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending, first and last. He's the resurrection. He's the key holder. Reverend and holy is his name. He is the image of the invisible God, the first begotten of every creature. He's the head of the church, the firstborn from the dead. He's the pearl from paradise. He's the gem from the Holy Land. He's time's choicest theme. He's life's strongest chord. His blessed name is like honey to the taste, like harmony to the ear, help to the soul, and hope to the heart. He precedes all others in priority. He exceeds all others in his superiority, and he succeeds all others in his finality. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He is head of the heroes. He is leader of the legislators. He is the overseer of the overcomers. He is the governor of governors. He is the prince of the princes. He's the owner, for he is Lord. Even though he did not put his signature in the sunset, he's still the owner. Though he did not put his mark on the meadow, he's still the owner. Though he did not carve his initials in the side of the mountain, he's still the owner. Even though he did not put a brand on the cattle on 1,000 hills, he's still the owner. He did not take a copyright out on the songs the birds sing, but he's still the owner. He had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, but he got up the third day, and he lives. All other religious reformers and messiahs come to live. He came to die. All others leave monuments and memorials. No one can find his birthplace, grave, nor one possession. All others write diaries and memoirs. He wrote on the sand and forgave the woman taken in adultery. All others choose their followers from the rich and powerful and influential. He chose the poor and needy. All others praise human righteousness, and he condemned it. All others seek those who can help them. He sought those who could not help themselves. All others promise success and happiness to their followers. He promised that there would be tribulations in this world. battle. All others hold their disciples with fear and force. He invited his to leave him if they would. All others have palaces, mansions, headquarters. He had no place to lay his head. All others were the most talented, he recognized, but not this man. He took the least of the greatest and saved them. All others say, follow me and I'll show you the way. He said, come unto me because I am the way. All others claim to be messengers of God. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. All others stay dead. He arose. He overrules all mortal things. He directs the movement of the stars. He rules the armies of heaven. His kingdom rules over all, and of his dominion there shall be no end. Here's his claim. All power is given unto me. That's what he said. He came down the stairway of heaven, born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, baptized in Jordan, tempted in the wilderness, performed miracles by the roadside, healed multitudes without medicine, and made no charges for his services. He conquered everything that came up against him, went up on Calvary and died there, then went down into the grave, and there cleaned out the grave and made it a pleasant place to wait for the resurrection. Then on the third day, he got up with the army of his omnipotence. Men have been trying to wrestle his power from him all these years, but you can't destroy him. What are you going to use for power? He has all power. If you try to destroy him by fire, he'll refuse to burn. If you try to destroy him by water, he'll walk on the water. If you try to destroy him by a strong wind, the tempest will lick his hand and lay down at his feet. If you try to destroy him with a law, you'll find no fault in him. If you put him in the grave, he'll rise again. If you try to destroy him by rejection, it won't be too long till you hear a still small voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Do you know his name? Let's chant it one more time. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Okay, okay. Let me tell you, if the Muslims can do that chant, we can do our chant. Let me try to tell you one more time who he is. He is peace. He is peace that passes all understanding. He is peace in the valley. He's peace in the fiery furnace. He's peace in the lion's den. He's peace crossing the Red Sea. He's peace in the time of trouble. He's peace in the day of judgment. His name is Purifier, Potter, Prince, and Propitiation. His name is Physician and Potentate. His name is Root, Refuge, Rock, Redeemer, Redemption, Righteousness, and Ransom. He is rivers of water in a dry place. He is a Savior, a Shepherd, Son of David, Son of God, Star of Jacob, Shiloh, Son of Righteousness, Sanctification. He's a Teacher, a Tower, a Testator. He's the Tree of Life and the Truth. He is a Minister, Messenger, Message, Mediator, Messiah, and Mighty God. He is a light in a dark place. He is the light of the world. He is the Lord of all. He is love divine. He is longevity. He's a lawgiver, and he's my Lord. He is a day star. He's a day spring. He's a daysman. He's the desire of all nations. He is my desire. He's an advocate. He's ancient of days, and he's my amen. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the captain of my salvation. He's a counselor, and he's my consolation. He's a forerunner, a finisher, a first, a fortress, a fountain, a friend of sinners, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the Galilean. He is goodness. He is gentleness, and he is God. Let me hear you say his name one more time. Jesus Christ. Have a single-mindedness toward him. You miss him, you miss it all. He's what it's all about. Now let me say this, and I am most serious today. I know we've had a bit of a good time, and all I've tried to do is just to get you to see this is all about him. This is his glory. Christianity's him. Christianity, I like to call it. Last week, Last Sunday morning, a young man met me out that front door, opened the door for Miss Pam and I. On Friday, he took his life. He shot himself and went out into eternity. Understand this. Without Christ, you won't make heaven. Here's very simply what the scripture said. You've seen all our hoopla today. You've seen us happy. We love his name. We love to say his name. We love to hear his name. And I hope that today you will center on Jesus Christ too. There's an eternity that awaits. We lost two of our folks in tragic way this week. Death went out into eternity. And I can't say how and describe to you how I mourned in this way. When they were here, did I lift him up? Did I say, "Behold the Lamb of God"? Did I urge upon them to trust Christ, to believe on Christ? Knowing the terror of the Lord, did I persuade them? I say, "Pastor, you're not going to save anybody. You know I'm aware of that. But I do know this, that the Spirit of God wrote this book." He wrote this book, the Spirit of God. Jesus said this, "He, the Spirit of God, when he comes, he shall magnify me." He did a right good job of it in this Bible, the Spirit of God. And so today, I tried to take the saints to the name of Christ for you to rejoice and to feel and rest assured that you're centered on Christ. I hope you've been renewed and that you know now for sure and without certain. Your faith is built on Jesus Christ and nothing less. You see him as the way, the truth, and the life. And so, in conclusion, I say this. If you don't know his name, if you don't know his name, you have no priest to atone or intercede. You have no fountain to wash away your guilt. You have no Passover blood to sprinkle on your lintel. You have no shepherd to tend you. You have no king to help you. You have no providence to work your good. You have no advocate to plead your case and cause in heaven. Boy, every child of God in here are so happy about having a lawyer in heaven that's never lost a case. That he pleads your cause. And when he pleads for you, he doesn't plead your works of righteousness, but he pleads his own blood on behalf of the Father. Without knowing him, his name, you're a body without a head. You're a miserable orphan with no father. You're a widowed soul without a husband. You're without a Savior, without a friend in heaven. Without virtue of his great sacrifice, without merit of his atoning blood. Without Christ, your religious acts are vanity. Without Christ, your church goings are nothing but a form of slavery. Your prayers are empty wind. Your good deeds are nothing but camouflage to hide your base iniquities. Your religion is dead and corrupt. It's a stench in the nostrils of God Almighty. When I get to heaven, Jesus Christ is not going to hear the last of it. He is my ticket. I'm trusting him come hell or high water. And you know, in this week's event, where I ran right to Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't know why. But I know you know. And I know you. I even got up this morning and said, Lord, you're working everything for my good and God's glory. And you know, a lot of times you get where you just don't get it. You don't exactly understand. That's when you trust Him. Trust Him. Just trust Him. He'll do right. And I close with this passage, Philippians 2:10. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And the songwriter put it this way, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He is my king. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is not waiting to be king. He is king now. And we look to him as our king, as the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and sing his praise.